Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 170 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this weekend, ready to look towards the Chinese Grand Prix. Of course, I am joined by Formula One's biggest fan of a Chinese driver. It's Jamie183.
I'll take that. To be fair, I can't think of any obvious Zhou Guanyu fans apart from myself. So I'm very excited. Obviously, my hopes are on the floor because the stake Formula One team kick Sauber is absolutely horrendous this year. But we can hope and we can dream and we can soak in all of the attention that Zhou is getting for this weekend, regardless if he gets any points or not.
Well, yeah, I think just going back to your biggest fan thing, remember only one of us does have a picture with him. So, you know, talk about fans
well,
like that.
You know, I've got a friend who went to school with him. So,
do you?
Yeah.
I've never heard this story.
No, that's as far as it goes. It's not very interesting. But his
fair
English
enough.
Name is Stephen. So my friend who
knows
him,
that, to be fair,
knows him as Stephen rather than
because
Joe.
One of my mates used to go go-karting with someone that go-karted with him. And
right.
He was always just that, like, he's known as Stephen for some reason.
Yeah. That's his English name.
There we go.
Fun fact.
We're unmasking Zhou Guanyu. We're going to do a Zhou Guanyu iceberg at this point very soon. Just all dedicated to him. But we have got quite a few interesting things to talk about this week. Of course, most notably, the return of the Chinese Grand Prix. The first time in 5 years. Yes, the last time Shanghai was on the calendar, Max Verstappen had just 5 Formula One wins. Lewis Hamilton had 5 Formula One World Championships. Daniel Ricciardo had just moved to Renault. I had about 12,000 subscribers on my main channel, and Knowing Wheel was not even a consideration.
It may have been.
Maybe.
We'd been talking about this for years. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't.
We
were still doing league racing. That's how sad our lives were.
We were still league racing at this point. That's how fun. We've really matured since then, haven't we,
Jamie? It's pre-COVID. That's mad.
It is crazy to think about. You know, 5 years is a long old time, isn't it?
Yeah, there you go. But we're back.
Absolutely wild. We are. We're still kicking around, for better or for worse.
Indeed.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the first sprint weekend of the year, haven't we? They've changed the format again. I think it's a subtle move in the right direction. But let's be fair, we're still very much on the great. Don't really care that much, do we?
Yeah. I mean, this weekend is a bit unique because the sprint races are such unreasonable times for European audiences. So I think the viewing numbers will be much lower than they were for Interlagos, for instance. I think that was the last sprint race, wasn't it?
Yes.
Because I think the sprint race kicks off at about 4 a.m. UK or something.
Yep.
So I would not be surprised if it's like record low numbers for viewing, but in context, that's understandable. But I don't like this. I mean, sprint races are all right for the fans at the track, but they're just so pointless for everyone watching at home, and it just kind of spoils the main race. So we've spoken about that a lot before, but I read a good article on the race actually this week that basically now they've swapped normal quali back to its traditional slot on a Saturday afternoon. So now you have sprint quali on a Friday evening and sprint race as like a warm-up for real qualifying. It just makes it even less important because you could tune in for normal quali on Saturday afternoon having missed all of the sprint action and you wouldn't really know or care any different. It's a little bit mad because the headline from Friday, there now won't be a headline, whereas before you had who got pole. The headline from Saturday was always who won the sprint race, which will now be who got pole. And obviously Sunday is Sunday, so yeah, it's an odd one, but
I would
know.
Be say very very interested because I mean, like I said, it's a 4 a.m. start in Shanghai, which I believe it was 4 a.m. for the Australian Grand Prix. Obviously, I know it's a Sunday versus
yes,
a Saturday.
Yeah.
I would be really intrigued to know, say on Sky Sports or something like that, how much lower the viewership is for the sprint race than it is for the Australian Grand Prix a couple of weeks ago. But that being said, though, I mean, we were talking about this pre-show, weren't we? It still feels like, obviously, Formula One are kind of still banging the drum about sprint races. it feels like they're not trying to do it as much this year, but desperately still they need that. They just still haven't had a blockbuster sprint race, have we? We've had what, like,
the closest 15, we got was Brazil 21 now?
Yeah, exactly. We are still waiting for kind of that blockbuster sprint race that F1 can just use as propaganda for it forever.
Yeah, whether it's changeable conditions. I mean, to be fair, Saturday in Shanghai looks like it might be wet, so that might do
it's
a favour.
It's meant to rain overnight, which could make things interesting. I mean, this was going to be another point we were going to go into in a minute, but if ever there was an opportunity for a crazy sprint weekend, this is really looking like the one it could be, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, because they're going into sprint quali off the back of 1 hour practice on a track they've not been to in 5 years, hasn't really been used in 5 years, and they've resurfaced it.
I was going to say, it's resurfaced, and since then it has basically just been raining for days on end. I mean, Bottas went round yesterday at the time of recording and was saying even on his bike it was quite difficult. So
he's probably faster on his bike than he is in the F1 car, actually, at the minute.
Well, I'm sure he gets quicker pit stops on that thing. I want to believe that there's an opportunity for some craziness to happen this weekend. But I'm still trying, because it's even things like, because Belgium last year could have been a good sprint race. But of course, then obviously the safety car just basically ruined everything, didn't it? Mm. And then the track didn't dry out very much. So it's kind of like, we were talking about this pre-show, weren't we? It feels still with sprint racing like they've tried to implement it in an era of cars that aren't designed to sprint race. We were saying, if you'd done this 20 years ago, back in the refueling era, the potential for some absolute bangers back in the day.
Yeah, definitely. And then when the cars were just more on edge, now they're kind of like, I don't know, they're more like cruise ships than they are speed boats nowadays. Back in the day, they kind of like, yes, they're faster now, but that's because they're so much bigger and more powerful, and the tires have more contact surface, like, but they're just more safe than they used to be. Like 2008, wasn't it, when they got rid of traction control and still had groove tires, just made the racing crazy because no one could keep their car
hilarious.
On the track, which yes, looked quite unserious when, you know, drivers are just flying off the circuit at any given opportunity. But it made a great spectacle. So I just think the cars are a bit too, like, steady now.
I mean, it's obviously with, you know, the advancements and things like that, of course, you know, and suspension and things like that. But of course, Formula One cars now are just incredibly grippy at the end of the day. And it just feels like, of course, there is, you know, there's even an element, of course, I know we've spoke about this before, but sadly, at the end of the day, Formula One drivers now are simply too good. You know, it's the idea that even the worst drivers won't crash at Monaco unless you name Stroll or Latifi, and that kind of thing.
It similar happens in football, to be honest. Everyone gets annoyed that, like, tactically, every manager at the top of football now is way better than they used to be. So you don't get the manager just telling one player to dribble through the whole team. And it just makes it a bit more, like, watered down. And
well, there's
you know
too much
what
data, isn't there, in everything nowadays?
Yeah, it's interesting, because maybe we're just being nostalgic and it wasn't ever good in the first place. But
as we said before, if we were going to do Knowing We're Live with some old race watch-alongs in the future, which I think would be incredible, 2008 would absolutely be one of the first places I'm looking for videos. I've already got, like, a mental list in my head of races I'd want us to go back and watch.
I would just want to watch Brazil 2012 to torture myself.
still
hurts to this day.
It's just, it feels like with sprint racing at the moment, they've tried to make something artificially unpredictable in a sport that is ultimately, and this isn't a new problem either, but ultimately has been famously predictable for a lot of its history.
Yeah, you kind of get one in five, 1 in 10 years that is quite unpredictable.
Well, like, again, I know I mention it probably about once every other week, but 2006 to 2010, man, was such a golden era. That five-year window was something that Formula One could never have dreamed of. And I think now is finally starting to become the nostalgia that people associate with the V10s.
Genuinely, from 2011 onwards, there's probably 2 years where you would have predicted the wrong champion. if you get what I mean.
I'm going to say your thing here. I mean, 2014, potentially, there was a bit of unknown uncertainty in it.
But then after one race, you could have
26. Yeah, I guess you're saying 26 and 21, yeah.
Like, other than that, the favourite going into it has always won the championship. And that's exactly. That's what, for like 11 out of 13 years. So it is a predictable sport. And that's kind of just how it is, because the cars are not equal. And generally, there's one car that's a bit of distance ahead of the rest.
But that is Formula One at the end of the day. We've signed up for a rabbit hole. We have immediately gone down a rabbit hole. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we've had a few other big bits of news, haven't we, as we head into Shanghai. Fernando Alonso, kind of surprisingly to both of us, wasn't it? Confirmed he's staying at Aston Martin for another, I believe, 2-year deal.
Yes, a 2-year extension. So it takes him up to the end of 26, I believe, which is absolutely insane that he debuted in 2001. but it kind of, for me, ruined silly season a bit, because he was one of the key players and he's obviously staying put. So I think for him, he's a big enough name that he can hold the cards in terms of negotiation. And if he wanted to go to Mercedes, I'm sure he would have gone to Mercedes, but he would rather stay where he is, I guess. So fair play. And to be honest, Aston are as quick, if not slightly better than Mercedes this season so far. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, obviously, for Alonso, it's a good move. But it seems to me very much not a Fernando Alonso-style move.
It's a bit isn't it?
He's always been the risk taker. He's always, you know, I've never hidden it well that I'm not a fan of Fernando Alonso by any means. But, you know, there was always one thing I could pride him for, was he was, you know, never afraid to take a gamble and go somewhere else. I mean, it's never worked for him, with the exception of Renault back in the day. But even that was because really he was a Renault Jr., exactly. You know, and it kind of feels like now, is you're getting towards the end of the career. You know, unless he believes Aston Martin are going to be cooking something wild for 2026. But obviously, he did also make it clear, why would I go to Mercedes when they're in no better position than we are at the moment? When I can just kick Lance Stroll's face in week in, week out still.
Boost his stock, no doubt of getting beaten. So, yeah, the team absolutely loves him. Clearly, it's got a lot of backing. The factories, like the facilities they're making at Silverstone, will probably like be top three facilities on the grid, do you think?
It's difficult, it's difficult to differentiate, isn't it, nowadays? Because everyone seems to be doing so much.
Yeah, but I feel like Lawrence Stroll, you know, Alonso's kind of secondary benefiting from Stroll's delusion of trying to make his son world champion.
Oh, absolutely.
So if he makes a car good enough to be champion, Alonso wants to stay there and just win it himself.
Well, Alonso will win it himself.
Yeah.
I'm not even convinced if they made a car worthy of being a world champion that Stroll would win it anyway.
Yeah. It would have to be quite a, you know, half second clear everyone else, wouldn't it?
So, at least. How much off Alonso was he in Japan? 1.2 seconds or something wild?
Yeah, but, you know, Alonso's a very good driver.
I'm not arguing against that, but are you suggesting in a world where, as a threat for a championship, that Hamilton, Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, you'd basically be requiring Williams to be the only, and even Albon then would get the better of him. Is there any team on the grid that doesn't have a single driver that is at least half a second clear of Stroll? I'm trying to think.
Probably, I wouldn't say Tsunoda's half a second clear of Stroll.
I probably would now.
It would be
half a second clear of Ricciardo, and I'd say they're on a pretty similar level.
Stroll
at the moment. Ricciardo fans, I'm saying he's as bad as Stroll right now.
Stroll got sixth place in Melbourne. Put some respect on his name.
Yeah, but that's because no one else above him finished.
Yeah, I don't know. Half second is a big distance in Formula One. And Stroll got a pole position once. You know,
right, he's going to get another pole position this weekend, because apparently the conditions are only comparable to Istanbul years ago.
True. And if Stroll had won that race, I think I would have stopped watching the sport. So, it's a good job that Lewis Hamilton came through.
The best bit about Stroll taking that pole was how upset Max Verstappen was.
Oh, yeah. That was quality, but
so
you know
funny.
What? Max so had the last funny. Laugh.
He span in the race, didn't he? And almost got beaten by Albon.
Yeah, it was a poor showing for Red Bull, but, you know, three world championships later, who cares?
4, basically, mate. We know how this year's going.
Three and a half.
Let's talk then, Jamie. F1 2025 calendar has been confirmed.
Yes.
Thoughts? Yes, it has. Feelings?
It's basically the same as this year, isn't it, apart from one thing?
Well, there's a few changes.
So you've got Melbourne is the host, which is very nice. That was always going to happen this year.
Yeah.
Because is it two out of the next, or is it like four out of the next 15 or something, isn't it, that Melbourne has to
I thought it was
race.
Half and half, to be fair. It might be five in 15, but I thought it might have been five in the next 10.
I don't know. Regardless, there's some years that Melbourne will be first, some years that Bahrain will be. But we knew that this was going to happen because Ramadan next year, clashes with the first week, how inconsiderate.
And Albert Park had already leaked it months ago.
Yeah. So Bahrain and Jeddah can't... I don't think they want to do Saturday races again, basically. So they're going a bit further back in the year. So April 11th to the 13th for Bahrain and April 18th to the 20th for Saudi, which, that's a triple header. That's dumb. That's really dumb.
Yeah.
Japan, Bahrain, Saudi. What a stupid triple header.
Yeah.
Okay. And back-to-back Melbourne to China is going to be a bit tight for the teams.
They are. I mean, do you want to, this is what I was going to say. Do you want to know what's incredible? So you got back-to-back between Australia and Shanghai, back-to-back-to-back between Japan, Bahrain and Saudi Arabia. Then, Jamie, the gap between Silverstone and Belgium
is
3 weeks.
You've got 2 weekends off between UK and Belgium. Like, what is the point of that?
Well, we basically got a summer break before the summer break.
Yeah, so between July 6th, which is a Silverstone race day, and August 31st, which is Zandvoort race day.
So
we've got two races.
Two races in an 8 week window, basically.
And they're both within, they're back to back.
Yeah, it's mad. It's absolutely mad.
Yeah. I mean, like that they're making it slightly, you know, they're making the calendar make sense a little bit. Baku's later, which is new. Or is that not new?
That's this year as well.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I think the problem, of course, is now they've got is where Belgium got shuffled in pre-summer break, which, can I just say, I hate with a passion.
Yeah,
Belgium should always be the returning race back after the summer. Of course, it then completely gets messed around because, obviously, you've got the Spa 24, which is normally towards the end of July. So I think that's why they couldn't do Belgium a week earlier and have, like, one-on, one-off, one-on, one-off. But it's just... I mean, in terms of actual... calendar wise, I don't mind it too much. I feel like the layout is quite. I feel like Brazil is too early in the year, but then again, Brazil should always be the finale, yet never is.
Again, it's a ridiculous triple header to finish the season off.
Again, yes,
there we go.
Carnage.
They're going from Vegas to LaSalle in a week, in like 5 days. That's fantastic.
And if LaSalle's anything like it was last year, that's going to be even more problematic.
Yeah.
It just is. Bizarre, isn't it? I think it's the only way we can kind of describe it. It feels like it's well thought out in terms of, you know, the tracks where you're going. Like, it feels a lot more, you know, they kind of did all this stuff a couple of years ago about how they wanted to try and make it more grouped up and things like that. Still, of course, because of the Middle East, you know, a little bit of cash money under the table. they obviously are split out two and two. Obviously, we return to Miami and then go back to Europe and then go back to Canada and all this, that and the other. But we can understand that. We can accept
You can't really race in Canada unless it's June or July, really, can you?
Pretty much, yeah. But I feel like, yeah, the actual track order, I'm quite happy with.
Yeah.
The way it's laid out is a bit more bizarre.
Yeah. And you heard it here first. I'll be in Monaco on the 25th of May. 2025.
Will I be in Monaco? In the
you will be as well if you want to be.
Yes!
Live knowing wheel from a Monaco restaurant.
Oh, exactly. That'd be fantastic. It would just be 20 minutes of me complaining about how we spent €60 on a pizza. Or something like that.
Yeah, but that's basically your ticket because you just book a table at a restaurant.
No, it's all covered, mate. It's all protected.
Nah.
Can't just do that.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Fair enough. Do you know anyone there?
Not yet. My parents will in a month.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We'll be there. Monaco live return to Knowing Wheel. We look forward to it, ladies and gents. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking back through the calendar, though. Of course, like we said, double header to start the year, triple header. Then Miami is actually by itself, which is quite nice. Then we've got another triple header. Then one off, one on, one off, doubleheader. 2 weekends off before, obviously, a doubleheader, Belgium and Hungary. Then we've got another doubleheader, obviously, after the summer break, Netherlands, Italy. Then Azerbaijan is sensible. Singapore is sensible. USA, Mexico is a doubleheader. Brazil is sensible. And then a triple header. I guess the thing is, obviously, with Vegas, is obviously a Saturday race. So you have got that,
so you
one
have
extra,
an extra day.
Do we know when the sprints are next year? Or they don't get confirmed
don't
until
get
way too late, do they? I mean,
yeah, they
if,
get
you
gonna,
if you were
going
to... If you were going to guess 6 races that are going to host a sprint next year, where
it's all a bit
say?
Random, isn't it? It kind of depends on which sprints are good this year. So I think Brazil, they're going to just give one because it's the only good sprint race so far.
And they Austria, really they normally do.
Yeah, Austria too. Maybe Vegas, if they could fit it in, do you think?
No, because it would have to be qualifying
on
Thursday.
Oh, yeah, true. That wouldn't work very well. Silverstone might get one. You never know.
I think they know the fans pay out the nose to go Silverstone anyway, so why would they give them any value for their ticket?
True. I'd like to see a Bahrain sprint at some point. We haven't had one of them yet.
Bahrain as a season opener, I feel, deserves a sprint race. Not when
is. But when it is a season opener, that would be a bit dumb having the first race of the season be a sprint. I don't like that. But when it's around 4...
Sprint races are dumb anyway. That's the whole point.
When it's around 4, I'm like, all for it. Get it a sprint race. I don't know. It's a bit of a stab in the dark, really, isn't it? They'll never give one to Monaco. They'll never give one to Barcelona.
You'd hope not.
And, yeah, I doubt they'd give one to Zandvoort, really. Because, again, it's not great for overtaking.
Belgium sprint, saw the most overtakes in the entire season.
Yeah, because it was... flipping wet, wasn't it? And everyone had no
idea
what to do.
Dry wet,
yeah.
That's what you
and,
want in a sprint
Joe
race.
Joe Guanyu ran in the podium for about 10 laps. What a baller.
What happened to Joe in that race again?
He aquaplaned because it was too wet.
How many other people binned it at that corner? One other
person went off about a second before he did. Didn't hit the wall, but we ignore that. Yes.
So I'm looking through. Is there any other good candidates for a sprint race?
How long is Mexico City going to be on the calendar for, by the way?
Well, I'm as just soon thinking, as Checo's dropped.
Yeah. If they need to get rid of some races, obviously Barcelona's almost gone. So that's good.
But that's being replaced City. Anyway.
Yeah, but Madrid will be a good race, so it's fine.
Will it? Are you sure? It's another street track. Okay.
Yeah. I think Mexico's on the chopping block. I think Miami won't get another one after its 10-year contract. But we've got a while left. Yeah.
I mean, it's that thing, isn't it, of course, of... Next year, I believe, is the first time in quite a long time that it's identical in terms of the tracks that are on the calendar. Obviously, I know it's not the same order and everything. Which I, you know, it probably has happened at some point in the past, but I just can't remember when off the top of my head.
Yeah, well done.
Obviously, like we said, Mexico is probably quite a prime candidate for that once Checo's gone. Where else could get dropped anytime soon? Miami, yeah, maybe, but they've got a long-term contract.
Yeah. I worry it would be something like Belgium next.
But... Well, Belgium was on the chopping block and now apparently is safe again.
I think Imola, I don't know how it's still around, really. It was only ever joined the calendar as an accident.
I appreciate Imola's history in the sport, but yeah, it kind of feels like it's yet to really deliver a good race, has it? With the exception of 2020.
2021, you mean? 2020 was boring.
No, 2020 was a good race.
2020 was the one where it was just a boring Mercedes 1-2 until Bottas messed up.
Yeah, but there was a lot of battling going on behind, though, wasn't it?
Nah, rubbish.
2021 was boring. Lewis could
2021
know
was
that.
Class.
2020 was,
that was wet to dry.
That good? I know it was wet to dry, but it just wasn't that good, was it, for a wet to dry race?
Yeah, it was good. Maybe it's because Max won, and it suddenly made me believe that we could win the championship. But...
Well, that's what I'm thinking, whether it was just actually the hype around it.
That was for Lewis messing up and getting lucky that it got red flagged.
No, that was because Max forced him off the road because he can't race wheel to wheel.
No, what are you on about? He just messed up when he was trying to lap Russell.
No, but Max barged him off at turn one, which gave him the damage.
Oh, that's totally unrelated. He went off because he got damage at turn one, did he?
Yeah, you had no pace anyway because the car was wrecked. Because Max was having to drive wheel to wheel. I mean, yeah,
anyway,
go back to the original
point.
Though, anywhere else that could be dropped off the calendar? Yeah, I guess Mexico and Imola are probably the two prime candidates, aren't they?
Yeah,
I mean, but then you end up in a scenario where Monaco is the first race of the European leg, which seems odd.
I would just put Spain back before Monaco, then. Go to Madrid.
I mean, I must admit that it makes sense. We always use Barcelona to see who was quick in the final sector.
Even though it's irrelevant now.
Now that final sector's gone, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man, it's so weird, isn't it? It's so weird. Maybe, yeah, Mexico, Imola, Miami could get dropped for some. Well, I mean, it'd be more tracks in the Middle East, but there we are. Unless we end up with, like, 30 race seasons soon. It's, I mean, we're going to have to do a lot of podcasts then.
Yeah.
That seems intense. Shall we do the quiz, Jamie? We have really just rambled on today.
Yes. I don't know what we've talked about for the last 20 minutes, but there we go. Hopefully you're still
listening. We've done very, very well. of course, we're returning to Shanghai for the first time in 5 years.
We are.
Your quiz this week, Jamie, is not to name me every winner of the Chinese Grand Prix.
I didn't see that coming.
No, it's not to win that. It's not. Okay.
You're going to be like, who finished fourth each year?
No. You have got to try and give me the... So, what I'm going to say is you can get them in any order.
Okay.
But you can't get a wrong one, otherwise it's over. So you've got to name me every point scorer in the first Chinese Grand Prix, way back in 2004.
And I can't get it wrong.
So you've got no time limit, but as soon as you get one wrong, you're
out. This morning I was going to watch the highlights of that on YouTube, but I didn't because I didn't have time. That would have been quality. But I have no idea. I think... It's the trick question because I think Schumacher crashed down the formation lap.
He didn't crash on the formation lap. He crashed out on the installation lap.
So yes, on the way to the grid. Oh, he did start the race.
He did start the race.
04. Okay. I was... this could be over straight away. I'm going to say Michael Schumacher.
It's over.
Fantastic.
That's going to be the shortest quiz we've ever done.
Are you baiting me into that? I wouldn't have said it if you... Did he actually start the race? You weren't lying.
He started from the pit lane, yeah. He finished the lap down. He had an absolute stinkery span. He binned it with traction control.
04. Well, can I carry on? Anyway.
I'll let you carry on.
There's only 8 point scorers. I reckon David Coulthard. I never say
that. Nope. he finished ninth. this is so funny. You're basically just going to give me the 2004 grid now.
Kimi Raikkonen, was he?
Yep, he finished third.
There you go. Juan Pablo Montoya.
He finished fifth.
Jarno Trulli?
No, I don't think
Fisichella?
So. Fisichella finished seventh.
There you go, what a guy.
Trulli, sorry, wasn't even on the grid.
Yes, he was.
Jarno Trulli was not at the 2004 Chinese Grand Prix.
I swear he raced in 04.
It was Jacques Villeneuve in the Renault because he'd been dropped, hadn't he? Before the end of the year.
Oh, China. He missed the only race he missed was China. Why?
Because Jacques Villeneuve replaced him. Because he got dropped.
But he came back for Japan the race after. Oh, no, he went to Toyota. Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, so far, you've given me 3 correct answers and 3 wrong ones, including a driver that wasn't even there.
Yeah. I think I'll throw in my towel.
You're not even going to give me any more guesses.
Well, I've already messed up, haven't I?
You have messed up.
Timo Glock. He was driving for Jordan, wasn't he?
He didn't. He finished the lap down in P15. You're awful at this.
Yeah. I can't even. 04 is a poor season for me. Button?
Button came second.
Who would have won the race? Barrichello?
Yes.
Ah, there you go.
I believe before 09, it was Barrichello's last win.
Oh, yeah, it would have been because he went to...
BAR, 2004.
Wait, did he?
No, he did that in 06, but obviously Ferrari didn't win anything in 05 apart from Indy.
There you go.
So it was Barrichello victory. Quiz. It was horrendous. Barrichello, Button... Kimi Raikkonen, P3, ahead of Alonso, Montoya, Sato, Fisichella, and Felipe Massa.
Very good. I was never going to get half of them.
I'm looking at this.
I was looking at the grid, and Panis was P8, and I never got him.
It was BAR and Sauber were the only teams to score points. The only teams to get both cars in the pool, I should say.
Wow.
I actually picked you quite an unpredictable race.
You did. And you picked me a race in 2004 that Michael Schumacher wasn't the right answer for. So I feel like I got set up a bit there.
Oh, well, I feel like you should have been able to see that coming a mile off, to be fair. it was one of the only races that Schumacher didn't win that year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was the only time he didn't score points, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right.
Because it was the final race of the year, and he had an absolute disaster.
It wasn't the final.
Wasn't it?
There were two races after.
Brazil and China, yeah.
And Trulli came back. That's why I thought he raced.
Yeah, so Schumacher didn't finish Monaco early on, came second at Belgium and Italy, then 12th in Shanghai, 1 Japan and 7th in Brazil.
Best season of all time by any driver.
2002.
Yeah, true. But 2004 was more interesting.
Every single race. Oh, yeah. 2004 was a bit like 2023, wasn't it? And actually, there was quite a few times where people were close-ish to Red Bull. Obviously to Red Bull or Ferrari back then. But yeah, just no one could make it happen.
There you go. We have waffled like crazy.
This has been a very waffly show. I'm sorry to everyone listening. Let's finish off then, Jamie, with predictions.
First sprint prediction of the year.
Yes.
So we've got an extra 2 points on offer.
Yeah, boy. We only do...
sprint win.
Sprint race qualifying in top three, don't we? We don't do sprint quali.
No, sprint quali is pointless. Also, where sprint quali is now before real quali, that's going to be annoying.
Wasn't it always before real quali?
No, because sprint quali was on Saturday morning, real quali was on Friday night.
No. Qualifying has never been before the sprint race.
Yes.
It says how bad this system is even know. When?
Real qualifying last season was on a Friday.
Was it?
Yes, that's the only change. They've swapped them.
I thought they swapped real qualifying with the sprint race.
Well, they did. As in, like, real quality has gone from Friday to Saturday afternoon. So now we get all of the sprint stuff done before real quality.
But you just said real qualifying was on Friday night. I thought it was sprint qualifying on Friday night, real qualifying Saturday morning, and then the sprint race Saturday afternoon.
No. It was Sprint Saturday,
so
wasn't it?
Stupid.
It was Sprint Saturday. You're not thinking straight.
Oh, I don't know, man. We watched this sport for most of our lives, and I can't even see what the format was for a stupid weekend last year. How dumb are sprint races, man?
Because now, not only is the first stint of the race going to be spoiled, but also qualifying's going to be spoiled.
Yes. So, okay, yeah, it's just awful.
Yeah.
Deary me,
yeah,
man.
Let's stop ranting. You've lost your head. Man.
I have. What are the scores going into this?
The scores are... I'm on 18, you're on 13. So you get to go first.
Wonderful. Sprint win. Max Verstappen. Real qualifying. Oh, I should take the easy 2 points, but I'm not going to. I'm going to say Charles Leclerc. Podium. Actually, no, I'm not going to say Charles Leclerc. I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
He has been better than Leclerc recently.
I'm getting spicy.
Science has only got, what, 2 poles ever?
Two or three. Podium is going to be Max Verstappen. Charles Leclerc. Carlos Sainz.
Okay. No Perez in any way to
no
be seen.
No Perez.
I might go for a little Perez sprint win just to be different.
Okay, fantastic.
So Checo is going to get his first win of the season in a sprint.
Nice.
Actually, I just remember what I said was wrong. Qatar was a sprint, wasn't it? So is Oscar Piastri not the last sprint winner? I said Brazil was the last.
No, because Brazil
race.
Was after last year.
Ah, well, there you go. I would go Checo Perez to win the sprint. I would go Max Verstappen to be on pole position. I will go Max Verstappen to win the race, followed by Checo Perez and Lando Norris.
Interesting.
There you go.
Okay, so we've got very, very different.
It's very different.
We need to make sure we write in our predictions as well so I can do the graphic after this. Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie, apart from the worst ever score we've seen in the quiz?
Podcast will be late next week. Apologies.
It will, yes. Well, it's been late this week as well. We're both busy with life at the moment, so we apologise for
yeah.
that.
I'll be running my own race on Sunday morning, so I'm not
you
sure.
You will.
Watching,
yeah,
watching
very,
China.
Very good luck to you. Is it a full marathon or a half marathon?
Half marathon in Vienna.
Oh,
so if you're in Vienna, come and say hello.
Make sure if you're watching the Vienna Half Marathon, you bring out some posters saying Knowing Wheel on top.
Oh, exactly.
Jamie will personally give you a handshake
and
halfway around.
Yeah. I won't stop, but if it's very quick, if you can run with me, I'll give you a handshake.
Fair enough. There you go. The deal has been done, ladies and gents. Thank you all so much for listening, as always. If you've made it to the end of one of our most rambliest episodes ever, then I salute you. And we will be back next week to look back over the action from the Chinese Grand Prix.